What's up, everyone? It's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney podcast. In this podcast, we're going to be talking all about a number of bits and pieces from Disney Plus over the past couple of weeks. First off, we've got information on when we're going to be sort of finding out a lot more about it. We've got a load of financial information that was revealed. We've also got a couple of new shows that were kind of revealed that were going to be coming to it. We're also going to be talking about the brand new Spider-Man Far From Home trailer and a few other bits and pieces as well. So before we get into all this, let's do a quick bit of housekeeping. First off, if you haven't already done so, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to the audio platforms as well. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc. And make sure you follow us on the social medias to keep up with everything from the website. And as a quick thing, apologies for last week. Couldn't quite get around to doing an episode because I had a really bad migraine and basically couldn't move my hands, or even talk, or could even see really because I had such a bad migraine. So that's why we missed an episode last week. Very rare that happens, but unfortunately, yeah, wasn't really fit enough to be able to do it. So let's jump into the big news. James, first off, was Disney put out a press release kind of going through a load of financial details about Disney Plus, and as part of that they announced that they are going to be showing off Disney Plus, showing off some of the things with the series, showing off how the app all works at its Investor Day, which is going to be taking place on April 11th, Investors Day. They're going to be doing a demonstration of Disney Plus and the first look at some of the original content. And what's also interesting, that's the first day of Star Wars Celebration in Chicago. So everyone just jumped straight to the first scenario of, we're going to see our first look at the Star Wars Mandalorian. I'll be honest, it's not just that for me. It's more about just seeing how the app works, seeing some of the other bits and pieces. This really is going to be the kickstart of, I think, they're going to use this as the, I wouldn't say the launch, but this is very much going to be all eyes on Disney Plus on that day.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first chance to actually see it in action for just about anybody. Mm-hmm. And Disney, especially since it's in front of investors, Disney is going to have it in a state that's ready to go. They can't just say, oh, over here is where you'll be able to access this. No, you have to, you know, scroll over to it and it's there. Obviously, it won't be the final version of Disney Plus. We're not expecting that until later in the year, but this does need to be a functional prototype. So what we see at this will be very important for determining how Disney Plus is going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, obviously we start seeing, you know, if they're going to be showing off. We don't know yet how they're going to be showing off this. I'm assuming they're going to put out some videos and put out the trailers and stuff and put, because it's going to be going out all at, you know, they're going to want to make a big deal of this publicly about what they're going to be showing off. So I think it's going to be good. Hopefully we might find out some launch details like pricing, things like that. But this could just be a nice kind of like, oh, this is just a preview and then leave that for later. Let the previews do the talkings for a bit. There's been a lot of hype and stuff. The big thing of why they did this was they did say back in November during the last conference call that they were going to be showing off more about Disney Plus in December. We have got a earnings call in early February, so hopefully we might find out a little bit more there. But April's really going to be the kickoff point, I think, for us to see what it looks like. And also, like you say, the app's going to change. Look at apps as a whole. They do evolve. They do tweak them. They've been making lots of changes, like to Hulu and ESPN Plus and all the rest of it. So it's going to be keep adapting stuff. But you know, we're going to be looking towards that design of what's going on. So definitely kind of quite interesting to see that we are only literally, you know, a few months away now from actually finding out a lot more details about this app.
I mean, it would have been nicer to get some of the details now, but at least we have a date.
Yes.
And it does give us, you know, a chance to kind of build up the anticipation. Personally, I'm kind of expecting this to be just videos.
Yeah.
You know, previews, no hands-on.
Yeah.
But even that will give us plenty to talk about and take a look at.
But so the big reason that all came in is they put out this press release and a number of documents where because Disney is shuffling around all of their internal business, they've moved all the direct consumer and international into one unit, so what they've done is they've gone back over the last 2 to 3 years and done up all the books of what this company would look like, because what they're going to start doing is, like, the direct consumer Disney Plus will be basically buying or purchasing licenses from the television studios and the movie studios. So they're going to be shuffling paperwork. So Disney Plus might be buying rights for Star Wars Mandalorian off of the Walt Disney Studios for, say, $1 million. And then $1 million then get put in as revenue against the studio. So it's all about making it look like, on paper. The idea is that it's supposed to be that investors can see where the money's going, what's coming in. So it doesn't just look like there's this massive black hole of money on the studio's point, because they're not making, it's like, well, where's all the revenue coming that we used to have? Now it's going to be showing up on this. A lot of it is shuffling. If you've ever worked for part of a large business, you'll know what this is like. I know when I used to work for a large multinational or telephone company in the UK, you know, you'd be like, no, we've got to charge this company over here. It's like, well, it's the same company. Why are you doing with it? But I run my business. I don't charge, you know, it's that kind of thing. You're just shuffling money from side to side, but it looks better on paper for investors to work out what's going on. Showing massive losses for Disney, for its streaming networks. Put it in about $1 billion over, like, Hulu is just hemorrhaging money constantly. And that's why this kind of the episode really of it being like the money pit, because $1 million has been put into, $1 billion has been put into streaming networks, buying BAM Tech, building it up, the costs of mounting for Hulu, the ESPN launch. They've been putting, it just shows on paper that this unit is just losing money because it's all startup and they're not really getting any revenue. And it's all just outgoing. Obviously, in the long run, this thing's going to start coming in. But right now, the direct-to-consumer is a massive loss for them.
Yeah, this is a long-term plan. It has to be a long-term plan. But as you said, investors don't like long-term plans. They like profit now. So, yeah, it's all trickery and smoke and mirrors and all that fun stuff. But it is what it is. And I'm sure it makes sense to financial people.
Yeah. It was just kind of this. I think that the big headlines of, like, Disney sinking $1 billion into streaming projects over the past few years. This, we've known about it for a long time. It's just, it was all being put against the other departments. Now they're going to be shuffling away how each department, like, you know, consumer products have moved in with parks. And, you know, it's just that thing of, like, direct to consumer and international. So that's all been linked in together. And obviously, once the Fox stuff comes in, they've been rearranging everything to get everything in line for what's going on there. But the fact that Hulu's going to be in there as well, which led on to another big story with Hulu, they've dropped their subscription base for people with adverts because they're trying to get more people into Hulu. And I think it's just really just making it look like the direct-to-consumer products are basically buying the movie rights. So whereas, say, for example, let's take Mary Poppins Returns, when that movie gets made, now rather than an income from Netflix showing as they've rented, they've purchased rights, now Disney Plus are paying them that right. So on paper, it doesn't look like it's a complete loss. But the in the long run, it's just gain, gain, gain all the way around for Disney.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's the way they want it to look.
Yeah, so it's the kind of thing. I can see what they're doing. They're trying, because otherwise the trouble is the move, Disney Plus is getting all the content without having to have, and all the income without having to have the outlay, where the other departments like the TV and the movies are making it and not having the income from that they used to have. So that's kind of the big thing. Whether or not in the long run this works out, I mean, they're talking about Disney Plus might take 5 years to be profitable. They are putting everything into this. They are planning long term for it. You know, there's been a lot of talk conversation in the last few weeks about everyone launching their own streaming networks. Comcast and NBC Universal announced they're doing their free to air. They're doing in that. Amazon's kind of continuing to build up stuff for them. Netflix have been very, very vocal the last few weeks because they know there's so much pressure coming in. You know, the one of their CEOs was coming out there going, we're more worried about Fortnite than Disney Plus. And, you know, and you're just reading all these things going, yeah, there's so much pressure on Netflix at the minute that they're trying to put over. It's like, yeah, any kind of thing that's a screen time can take you away from the screen. But all this competition is really coming down on Netflix. They're the ones to beat. And they're obviously coming under fire for this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot loaded in that statement.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to that statement, in fact, but it comes across as very callous. So I can totally understand why they'd be coming under fire for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that kind of thing of, like, you know, as you say, anything that's got screen time can take it away from Netflix. I mean, they were talking about how, like, YouTube is their big, one of their biggest competitors. And, you know, when YouTube went down, they saw a spike in people signing up and, you know, people playing Fortnite. And I myself, if I'm sitting there at night, if I go on my PlayStation for a couple hours, that's a couple hours on not watching television. So, yeah, that is correct. However, I think because of Disney Plus, Warner Brothers, and Comcast, and also Apple all jumping in on the streaming networks, people are looking, and investors specifically are looking at Netflix going, you were the king, you had everything, now you've got some serious competition coming up. And what, you know, they're saying about all the numbers of people watching stuff. Netflix has always been very secretive about numbers, and suddenly they've become very vocal about all their hits because they're having to prove that, you know, Bird Box and, you know, this Boulder, was it Boulder Dash or something like that? I can't think of what the name of this interactive TV show. Oh,
Bandersnatch, yes.
Yeah. You know, they're being very vocal about how many people are watching it. And because they are trying to put over these things, I'll be honest, you put things out like Bird Box, yeah, millions and millions of people, massive numbers of people watched it because it was there and put in front of them. That doesn't have the same impact as Mary Poppins Returns or the big movie at the cinema. It doesn't have the same impact that it perceived. People will sit there and watch something for, that they're getting up on their couch for free or they're subscribing to very differently to a massive blockbuster.
Right, because you have to go to the blockbuster. You have to put the energy into it, to driving to it, deciding whether you want to spend massive amounts of money on the food and so on and so forth, as opposed to Netflix, where it's just sitting there. Bird Box, you turn on Netflix and say, hey, do you want to watch Bird Box? I'm sure it's got Sandra Bullock in it. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very different experience.
I mean, there's so many movies now that come out and it's, you know, it's like, you know, we've got like, I think Fox have got this new one out about being for the king or something like that. You know, it's the kind of movie you look at the trailer and go, yeah, it looks fine. I'll watch it when it comes on to one of the Amazon or Netflix because it's cost too much to go to cinema. But it has that budget because people do go to the cinema to pay for it. And I think Netflix have just becoming, it's very apparent what they are doing. They know that they're coming under fire, you know, with things like Friends and The Office all coming off their networks as well and how much they're paying for it. They're being very much more vocal about what's going in because Disney is pushing on them. Warner Brothers are pushing on them. Comcast are pushing on them. Hulu's growing. Hulu's continuing to grow. I think they're, but they're nowhere near what Netflix is. Comcast are also, they're launching theirs next year. I think they're looking to take Now TV, what I've got over here in the UK. They're looking to take that out everywhere. They're all looking at this pie, and Netflix had the big, they had the plate to themselves for a few years. Now there's going to be a lot more slices coming out of it. And but then at the same time, we had Disney coming out going, yeah, we just spent $1 billion on all of our streaming networks. It's like everyone, there's so much going on in the streaming world right now.
Yeah, and I think kind of what all this gets at is that while none of these streaming platforms, Disney Plus included, will necessarily dethrone Netflix in any time in the near future. And by near future, probably talking in at least 5 years. The influx of having all of these coming in is going to take from the Netflix pie. Mm. And so while they can say, oh, you know, Fortnite worries us more because it takes away from the screen time and then yada, yada. The fact is they do have a lot to worry about because they can still be number one on the market. But if their market share is only 30% instead of 60%, that's still a hit on them. And I'm making these numbers up. Yeah. You know, I don't know what the actual market percentages are. But yeah, even if Disney Plus doesn't factor in as a direct competitor, Comcast service doesn't factor in as a direct competitor, CBS All Access doesn't, them combined are.
But also, I think the big problem is, and a lot of people look towards Netflix as this, Netflix was the one place to have it all, cost-cutting, cord-cutting, all that kind of thing. You could watch movies and TV shows from all of the networks, pretty much all on one, and it's all going away. And I, you know, I see it a lot with on comments and stuff of people, you know, saying about how, you know, they don't like all this and they want, like, well, that's different. The thing is, all these different streaming networks are going to have an impact, and Disney are going in strong. Warner Brothers are going in strong. Comcast, they're going in with a different approach. I think that's not necessarily the wrong idea. They're looking at it slightly different, but there's just been a lot of talk about what's going on with all of it. And Disney are, you know, the purchase of BAMTech really started it all off. And it's still going to be interesting where they go with Hulu and stuff and what they start offering. But, you know, once they've got the Fox deal sorted, we are really going to start seeing some big changes in all what's going on.
Yeah, and not just within Disney, because all the other companies are going to have to react as well, because it's a huge merger or acquisition, however you want to think about it. So,
I still being 100% honest with you, it still feels to me like Disney, if they had Hulu and Disney Plus in one, it would be an even bigger competitor. But I can see why Disney are looking at the two different models of going, actually, no, we want to offer choice, you know, a bit like an options. But let's jump into some of the other news from the Disney Plus side of things. So there's a couple of series kind of where, wouldn't say announced officially, but they were like casting calls have gone out for this stuff. So first off, we've got two new comedies. One's called Sofa Springs, which it's basically, it's about the Campbell family has a lot to figure out about their strange new home, which is supposedly a haunted hotel. That's pretty much all we know about that one. So nothing much to add on that one. And then there was the other one, which was called, being called Four Dads. And that one is about a new series set to follow Ethan and Sebastian, who divorce each other, and then they separately remarry other partners, and they must learn to parent their budding teenage daughters while avoiding the pitfalls of two very different families. That one is set to be production, supposed to start in spring, with the show set to start come in the fall. And Shane Jackson from American Horror Story is apparently in talks for being the lead role. So those are very much in very, very early stages. We don't know. There's nothing officially been announced on them. Very different kind of shows. So it'd be interesting to see where they go with them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it doesn't sound like anything too particularly amazing, but if they can execute on them in an interesting way, then that's good enough. We've certainly seen plenty of shows in the past that don't break the mold, but instead do, you know, whatever that mold is extremely well.
Yeah.
So none of these really appeal to me, but they're certainly hitting a type of show that I can see
doing
pretty well.
Well, I mean, for that, to say about breaking the mold, that one could be very big, because it could be the first time a gay couple are the lead in a Disney branded show.
That's going to be true.
It's kind of, I'm, you know, we've got Andy Mack, which is kind of got something similar going on. They've got an Out With Gay. They've got the new Jungle Cruise. They've got new characters in there. To me, it's like Modern Family is going to be, you know, that's a Disney show on ABC. I mean, it's going to be Fox. So it's kind of, to me, I look and go, well, it's nothing originally new, because I've seen it in other TV series in the past. So don't really, but under the Disney banner, it could be a big thing. To me, I look at this and go, this is what actually kind of what I'd like, is more of these little comedy things that we see on, because I like things like the Goldbergs and, you know, I like these little half an hour sitcom things. I don't think they do enough of them at the moment. There doesn't seem to be a lot of them out. I think, you know, things like, you know, the Big Bang Theory, you know, Two Broke Girls. I like these kind of little half hour comedy shows. I think ABC have always done quite well at doing them. So if it makes sense for them to start having some family friendly comedy shows on there, they're cheap to make. They're a lot cheaper. They don't have any messes, special effects like the Marvel or the Star Wars shows. And I think this is a good thing for them to go and, you know, get that family entertainment in there. And it's a little area that, you know, you think of all the little sitcoms they've had over the years. it makes sense for them to have a few running on Disney Plus as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we've talked plenty about, you know, their Star Wars lineup, their Marvel lineup, all these things that are going to be big hype items to get people in. But once you get those big hype items, you've got to have other things and not just back catalog items. You have to have new things. And these kind of shows are, you know, kind of the junk food of TV. They're not necessarily great programs, but, you know, they're comfort. I meant comfort food, not junk food. They're comforting to watch. You kind of know what to expect. You get a couple of laughs. You enjoy it. You kind of, you know, attach yourself to some characters. This is the kind of show they need backing up their main shows. So
yeah, it's good. I mean, I think we'll see a lot more of this stuff coming on. And I think as well, bringing in, you know, if they start bringing in ABC shows and Fox, you know, because it's like, to me, like things like Modern Family and the Goldbergs would be a good addition to add on to Disney Plus, and things like The Simpsons and stuff, and just bringing more things in of just not necessarily first look if exclusives, but just bringing in that family entertainment to sit there and watch. And so, you know, anything like that is good to me. So flicking over now, there was also the Mighty Ducks. There's a big anniversary coming up, and all the old cast were at the Anaheim Ducks filming something, right. And they put out a picture, and there's been talk of a reboot for a while. They were about a year ago they started talking about it, so whether or not it's a TV or a series or something else, we don't yet know. It could be nothing to do with any of that. It was very kind of good. We're working on some projects, and you could see when they were skating around, there was lighting rigs and cameras set up recording it a little bit more than just. So we don't know quite what's going on with this, but a Mighty Ducks could be returning. I remember watching the first movie but I think it came out just at the time when I wasn't really interested in Disney Channel movies. I was right at the teenage point where I wasn't really paying him as much attention then.
I've obviously always loved hockey, so the Mighty Ducks movies were right up there for me. Yeah, I mean, the first one was a solid movie. The second one, a little less so. The third actually had some good bits to it. It's a franchise that's worth taking a look at from the Disney perspective, from the do we want to draw attention back to this franchise. Let's skip over the animated show where they had actual ducks playing hockey. We'll leave that one alone. But yeah, I don't know what the project is. I actually, for the most part, a lot of this is still new to me. So, but yeah, if they can get most of the original cast back, particularly, you know, the main character who went on to have his own career, and then the guy who played Fulton, who was Falky Nelson in the Daredevil Netflix show, particularly those two, they at least have some recognition to them. I don't know if Emilio Estevez is attached or whatever, but
it's a series I've gotten like no connection to at all, but this is where like they're using the Disney Channel, they're using some of these like nostalgia things like Mighty Ducks, Lizzie McGuire to kind of get the parents in. I think, as you know, that generation are now going to be that much older, and the nostalgia on this, you know, they got to play on nostalgia, but they also have to give something original and new. So it's going to be interesting where they go with all these different shows. But you put this in with what things Freeform are announcing, ABC, the Disney Channel, Fox. You know, when we start seeing all of it starting coming in and we get a better idea of what's coming in, should be interesting to see. There's so many different bits and pieces out there and different things for different tastes. And that's what this streaming service needs to offer. It needs to offer variety. It can't just offer as much as everyone. Oh, yeah, Star Wars and Marvel. No, they need to add a lot of Disney content, because that's going to be a big core base, is the Disney side.
Yeah, and if you don't have these, then when you're in those lulls between when The Mandalorian comes out and we're waiting for the Clone Wars season, or you know, the Cassian show, you need to have these filler shows that are still good. I mean, obviously they can't be bad shows, but you need to have these things that people can go, let's see what's on Disney Plus, because you need people opening the app, remembering that the app exists, and having things to do in the app. So even if you can't do The Mandalorian one episode every week for the entire year, they have to have this content. And And honestly, even if you don't have Mighty Ducks nostalgia, there is a certain amount of it. And it's a recognizable name. Oh, Mighty Ducks. And the kid who played Conway is now doing the Emilio Estevez role or whatever. Yeah. You know, it can at least keep the app relevant while we wait for the big releases.
Yeah, so there's, I mean, that's definitely going to be the thing. And also, like I say, appealing to different things. You know, and my wife will watches different shows than I want to watch. If she, yeah, she's got no interest in The Mandalorian, but you know, different, you know, these different shows that she watches that I don't. And that's the key thing. They have to get into doing, you know, different options, and hopefully we start seeing a little bit more of that. So getting away from a couple of the, like, the rumored stuff that's going on, we did also get a brand new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home. We saw a massive trailer. This one kind of just dropped kind of out of nowhere. And I'm going to be honest, this movie, so if it's coming out, I think in July, so I'm guessing maybe Christmas, New Year, at the earliest, probably for Disney. If it still keeps with the Netflix 6-month system, we could be looking at around that time. That would be kind of cool. So what did you think of the trailer straight off the bat?
I thought it was a good trailer. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It kind of continued with the vibe that we got from Homecoming and expanded on it. And I thought, you know, the introduction of Mysterio was good. The way they did that, kind of leave it ambiguous. Could they actually play him as a hero in this? I mean, I think the answer to that is pretty obvious, but the way they do it in the trailer is well done. And then, of course, you know, we see the other villains in play as well. It was a perfectly fine trailer. It wasn't anything that's going to set the world on fire, but it did what it needed to do, which is sort of to let people know, hey, Spider-Man, another movie coming out. It's not part of the Spider-Verse. It's not, you know, Miles Morales. We've got, I'm totally blanking on it. Tom Holland, in here again, and
it feels fresh. It's that thing of, this is a Spider-Man movie, but the minute they take it out of New York and put it in London and Venice and stuff, it changes. It completely, it feels so fresh because we've never seen that on the screen with Spider-Man. You know, you associate it with New York. I mean, no, we've got him in the we had him on a weird planet in Infinity War, but the idea of him being somewhere else, him being a teenager on a foreign holiday, and just, you know, the angst with the girlfriend, and then suddenly you got Nick Fury turning up. I think this is the thing of, they've taken it and gone, actually, let's go and do something completely different with him. Let's let him, let's take him out of where he normally is and do something a bit fresh. Because then, you know, we're not comparing it to the other 5-6 Spider-Man movies.
Right. And I think they did dodge a couple of questions quite nicely with this too. You know, is Venom going to be part of this, et cetera? And whether it's the Tom Hardy version or, you know, they bring back the original from Spider-Man 3 or anything. But I know when they announced the name Far From Home, there was a lot of speculation. Far From Home, the alien symbiote, could that be part of it? Or is this going to be directly spinning out of Infinity War or Avengers 4 or Endgame? And no, it's not. It's still down to earth, and it's what we normally mean when we mean Far From Home. He's off on a trip visiting stuff, which is great. And just as a complete side note, not to sidetrack the conversation, the number of people who were like, this is a spoiler for Avengers Endgame, shocked me. It's like, guys, did you really think that they killed Spider-Man in Infinity War and they're not gonna retcon almost everything in Endgame? Shouldn't be a surprise. And yet the number of people who I've either talked to in person or I've seen online, you're like, this is, and they shouldn't have spoiled it. It's like, we knew the movie was coming out. This isn't a surprise.
It was that kind of weird thing, isn't it? I think that almost like, I would almost say like naivety of like, well, you've just killed off half the Marvel superheroes. Oh yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah, that was a surprise. They're never going to use these characters for the rest of your life. That was it. It's like, no, there's too much money on the. I think there's that thing, isn't it? I think, and obviously as well, we're being a comic book readers, we're used to them rebooting constantly. And, you know, no one ever stays dead except for Peter, for Uncle Ben. And that is kind of the standard.
Even Uncle Ben has come back.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed him again, or he was an alien or something. But even Uncle Ben has come back. It used to be Uncle Ben and Bucky.
Yeah.
And then they brought back Bucky. So we're waiting for Uncle Ben to come back as the next super soldier, I guess. Maybe.
I don't know. But I don't know. It's just this kind of weird thing. I think for Far From Home. But it's also, I think this is going to be good, because I think this is going to be a very much more, it feels uplifting, didn't it? It had such a different vibe to it. And I think that the teenage stuff adds to it, but it does feel a very different kind of Marvel movie. And it's going to be so different to Endgame and Captain Marvel.
Which is what it needs to be. You know, Captain Marvel is obviously going to be the war with the Skrulls and telling her origin story. Endgame is going to be this big thing against Thanos, and I do think we're going to lose some characters permanently in Endgame. Most of the characters that died in Infinity War, other than Loki, but maybe not Loki because of the television or the Disney Plus show, I don't know, but there will probably be some characters who do die in Infinity War and are dead.
The only one I think that probably would not be coming back will be was it Hyman Mike? The guy that Idris Elba plays? He's the only one that I think that might have died and stayed dead.
Well, I would have said that I thought Loki was going to stay dead until they announced his TV show. But we also don't know. Yeah. The TV show could be a prequel. It could be a reincarnated Loki. We've talked about it previously, so we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Heimdall is who you're thinking of. Yeah. And
Hyman is the caterpillar from Bugs Life.
you all look like little Lance from up here. I think Heimlich would have been on Thanos' side, but we will probably lose some characters. But obviously, Spider-Man's not one of them. And Iron Man, who is potentially one of the characters who could die in Endgame, is not in the trailer. So, but Spidey does have a new suit. So
I think adding in Nick Fury and stuff, I think that will all bring into that. People go, oh, well, Iron Man, he hadn't signed the check, it was Pepper Potts, and go, Pepper Potts runs the business anyway. Even if he was around, I didn't even look at that. And when people brought it up, I'm going, well, it wouldn't make a matter of sense, because I didn't really read as much into that as everybody else was reading into the fact that Pepper Potts signed the big check that Happy brought in.
Yeah, I mean, Pepper's not Iron Man. No. I mean, she could eventually become Rescue, which is one of the things that she does in the comics from time to time when writers actually remember that she has a suit of armor. But I'd be very surprised if that had anything to do with it.
I think it's more about the fact that I looked at it much more as well as that kind of. No, probably the Sony contract was that Downey Jr. only appeared in one. It was probably a much more simple reason for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of why some of the characters are not going to survive Endgame is because they haven't renewed contracts, and we know several of them are not going to renew contracts very specifically.
I'm used to the wrestling world where they play this up and they're going and they leave and they'll come back. You see this all the time.
Yeah, granted, a lot of times in the wrestling world, they already are planning to come back before they actually quit.
Yeah,
it is a little bit different in Hollywood where, Chris Evans is not holding out, not pretending to not take the contract, so that when he does sign the contract, he'll be like, oh, and here he comes with the chair. Is that Chris Evans?
It'd be a bit more fun, but I think it's that thing. I still think most of them are going to re-sign. I think the money's going to be too big for them not to. But nevertheless, also I think I heard the Black Widow movie is going into production at some point this next couple of months. So that's kind of been building up steam. I think Marvel are feeling a little bit more kind of interested in kind of using her as a character. It wouldn't also surprise me if that was quite a little bit of a bargaining tool to get Scarlett Johansson to re-sign to a new contract. It would be
segue there.
Yeah, that literally, and it was that kind of thing of didn't even realize I was going to go that direction.
Yeah.
But I would think that if they were to get her to re-sign, that would be a great way of doing it. to get her to sign on to do some more series if they gave her own movie.
I mean, she said in the past she wants to do a Black Widow movie, and now's the time to do it. Wonder Woman started the trend. Obviously, the hype for Captain Marvel is huge right now. We're expecting it to be a good movie. We'll know once it actually comes out. The idea that you can't have a woman leading a solo superhero movie is basically busted at this point. Yeah. So that the main obstacle that has been stopping us from getting a Black Widow movie is not there anymore. And this is the perfect time for them to launch it. Depending on the story, of course, I would expect some cameos, maybe something with Winter Soldier, but this is the time to do it. Also, and this is just a rumor, I have heard that they are considering making it the first mainstream Marvel R-rated movie.
Yeah, I don't
give it much credence, but the rumor's there.
I think this is kind of almost that thing of what people are wanting to make it stand out. An R-rated one, they might be doing all right with like Venom and stuff, but Disney want Black Widow as a forefront character on the, you know, on the cruise ships, at the parks, on the network. To me, it's like they don't want to be making Black Widow an R-rated character. They need her front and center to as many young girls and as many people as possible. The idea of making it a movie, from a movie point of view, I do think the movie probably would be better, but I don't think from a character, Disney as the synergy doesn't make any sense.
No, and I that was my general reaction when I first heard people dropping that was, no, Disney wants this in front of girls, specifically, you know, that preteen to teenage era, you know, 10 to 17, 10 to 18, they want Black Widow to be a role model character.
Yeah.
And as much as Captain Marvel can be a role model character, most women aren't going to grow up to be Kree hybrids who can fly and shoot power bolts out of their hands and all that stuff. Black Widow, okay, yeah, you're not going to be an assassin trained by the Red Room. You're not going to be able to take down an entire room full of people on your own kind of deal. But she's a much more attainable, much more down-to-earth role model that you can use, provided she's not, you know, slitting people's throats and, you know, doing all the stuff that you would do in an R-rated movie on screen for them.
Yeah. I know the thing is, I think because of, you know, Venom and Deadpool and Logan all doing very well, it's like, yeah, Black Widow from a character, it would make sense, but it just does not fit in with the rest of Disney to make a bit of extra money on a movie when that character is much more valuable long run being built up for generations. And that was just, yeah, I don't, it, yeah, it's just, for me, it didn't make any sense. They don't want Marvel in that R category, because I think even Deadpool, you know, he's being neutered when he's in with Fox. You know, they want them more, the more people can see them, the more money they make.
Yeah, although it would be a mistake to drop Deadpool down to PG-13. Half of the appeal of Deadpool is the ultra violent adult stuff that he does in the movie, but we'll see. Obviously, you know, they might just reboot Deadpool completely, which I also think would be a mistake, but this is not about Deadpool. This is about Black Widow. Okay. So to be fair, there is a rumor that it could be rated R, more likely it'll be PG-13.
And on the final topic with a movie and Marvel winner R, The Punisher season 2, is on Netflix now. I haven't got around to watching it. I'm still working my way through Daredevil season 3. Apparently ratings are down. Unsurprisingly, it's amazing how much stories you have about a TV show being canceled and before it comes out that people would stop losing interest in stuff. There's, you know, obviously the usual thing with the Marvel shows, lots of discussion about this one being brought back, it being rebooted. The main actors said about him being at peace. The showrunners want to bring it back, but The Punisher is the one character of like all the network of all the Netflix stuff. I'm just sitting there going, this guy does not fit Disney Plus. The character just does not fit in Disney. The Punisher doesn't fit very well in Disney, full stop.
I mean, to be fair, Punisher doesn't even fit in the Marvel Universe proper. He's supposed to be a villain. He was developed as a villain, and it was his popularity that turned him into a hero. Venom was the same way, of course. Anti-hero, or, you know, gray area hero, whatever you want to think of it. But Yeah, Punisher as he stands now, heck, even Daredevil as he stands now in the Netflix shows can't really be done that way with Marvel. Now, they can still use the same actors. They can still use the same character. They can have that background of these characters from the R-rated shows, but it would be a bit surprising if they continued having them R-rated on Disney Plus, assuming that they make the jump. I do hope they make the jump. John Bernthal has been a fantastic Punisher. And season two, despite the ratings drop, is a solid season, just like Daredevil season three has been. And I also don't think that all of it has to do with the fact that they canceled, that they announced the cancellations in advance. Sure, they didn't announce the Punisher was going to be canceled before season two came out, but come on, every other Marvel show was canceled. You'd have to be very, very optimistic to believe that it was going to survive the cuts. But not just that, you know, that it didn't get much press. In fact, the only reason I knew it came out was because my TV tracking calendar was like, hey, new Punisher episodes. I'm like, really? Oh, cool.
Well, that's the big thing, because Netflix, basically, when they started realizing what's going on and everything, they really did start churning down they weren't promoting it. They weren't advertising, I remember they used to see this series, used to see them advertised at cinema, on standard television, on YouTube. You see advert. They've been none of that. They've set this out there just to be like, right, we've made it, we spent it, get it out there and move along. They've not pushed it the same way they did with the first seasons of everything.
Yeah, and as this conversation has come up many times, I will once again point out Netflix is in a very different place than when Daredevil season one came out. When Daredevil season one came out, there were only a handful of Netflix shows per year. And Daredevil was like, wow, this is going to be very interesting. And now this week it's The Punisher. Next week it's the amazing Kimmy Schmidt or whatever. And the week after that is Stranger Things. The week after that is, Io, a movie. And then the week after that is yet another. It's just one more release within a giant spectrum of releases, which is a very different than it was when the Marvel shows first started popping up. So it does make sense with all of those factors, imminent cancellation, a much more flooded market, Marvel moving stuff over, there's not being quite as much advertising. Of course, it's not going to do as well.
No, I think there's been a lot of discussion right across the internet about it coming over and people. And to be honest, Netflix still hasn't officially canceled it. And also, I'm not expecting to hear anything. Disney will want to get out Disney Plus. They want to let these shows calm down, see what the interest is in maybe a year's time, see if then get things going. But yeah, so I'd say at the minute Punisher is, I personally don't think it will be back, but it wouldn't surprise me if they remodeled it and brought him back, but who knows. But that kind of pretty much wraps up all of the news from the past 2 weeks from the Disney Plus side of things. We'll be back next week with another episode. If you've got any questions or anything like that, you feel free to send them in to us. You can find us on social media, etc. Make sure you subscribe. Definitely make sure you follow us to keep up with all of our latest stories and stuff. James, where can they find you?
I'm heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.